Okay, we're Revelation 22 today, Revelation chapter 22. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 6 about the Word of God. He said to me, these sayings are true. These sayings are faithful. Everything about God is true. It's impossible for God to lie. Everything God does, He does faithfully. Our salvation is based upon His faithfulness, not ours. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servant the things which must shortly be done. They will come to pass in a very short time. With the Lord, 1,000 years here is but a day. We are living in the last days. So the title of the message, I'm calling it True and Faithful Sayings of God. The True and Faithful Sayings of God. This is true not only concerning this book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, but also can be said of all the Word of God, the whole Word of God, the whole book of God, we call the Bible, is the Holy Word of God. Don't ever put a question mark around this word and say, well, I believe this part and don't believe that part. No, we take the whole body of Scripture and we believe all the Word of God because it's all given of God. From the beginning in the book of Genesis all the way to the last, even so come Lord Jesus in Revelation chapter 22. It's all a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It all is given by inspiration of God. It's to be read. It's to be believed. It's to be studied. It's to be meditated upon. And it's to be declared in all this world. As it says down here in verse 9 and verse 10. Don't keep back anything. Don't seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Don't hide it. Declare it. Preach it. God is God, and salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. All Scripture we know is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, that's not talking about being moral. Instruction in righteousness is declaring how sinners are made righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter writes this, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by God the Holy Spirit. What you read and what you have in your hand is a very inspired, inerrant word of God. He said, heaven and earth are going to pass away. My word will never pass away. His word is faithful and true. He's told His church, the resurrected Lord, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. Now you think about that. Command was given to those apostles to go preach the gospel. They had to travel by foot. They had to travel by boat. They didn't have the means that we have today. We're so blessed with means to take the gospel to every man, to every creature. We have so many excellent means in our day to do so. Not only from this pulpit, everything that's been preached from this pulpit in the last 37 years has been recorded and sent out all over the world. The radio ministry that we have, been on the radio for 25 plus years, every Sunday, morning, Sunday, every Sunday after Sunday for many, many years. We have the pulpit ministry here. We have the radio ministry and the internet ministry. We've been on the internet for over 17 years on sermon audio. We put up over, and I look at this figure and I can't hardly believe we've done this, over 5,000 sermons have we uploaded. I mean, it's something you've got to put in manually and upload. It just doesn't happen automatically. Over 5,000 sermons, including Pastor Mahan, including my sermons, over the last 17 years. And I look at that download number on sermons that go out all over this world, usually 60 to 65 foreign countries each month About 1,000 sermons each week go out of here. So far, 1.5 million sermons have gone out of this ministry through sermon audio. And now, on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, we're rebroadcasting Brother Mahan's TV messages on WPRG. Aren't you glad the Lord has given us those means to go and preach the gospel? And it's an expensive thing to do. I mean, radio time and TV time and internet time, those all are expensive. But the Lord has supplied our need. The Lord has supplied our need through the generous giving of you and others. The Lord has supplied our need to enable us to do so. And I'm so thankful that we're able to send the gospel out. We hear from people on the sermon audio audience from California. Got a letter from a brother in Texas recently who listens to our ministry on sermon audio. It was such a blessing. What we preach here goes out all over the world. Our radio message is heard all over the world because they stream it on the internet. So anybody who has internet can pick up going to all the world and preach the gospel. I think about this scripture where the Lord said, the gospel shall be preached in all the world, and then comes the end. We're near the end. We are living in the last days. Now, I'm not an alarmist. I don't know when the Lord is coming back, but I do know this. He's on his way. It says in chapter 1, he said, Behold, I cometh. That means the Lord Jesus Christ is on his way back. He's coming back to receive us unto himself. Now, let's look at verse 6. I want to look at verse 6 down through verse 13, and hopefully we can get through these verses in a timely fashion. These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of his holy prophet sent his angel. The angel are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation, to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. Look right across the page at verse 16. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, the Savior, the sovereign Lamb of God, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. God sent a messenger with a particular message concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful and true are all of his sayings. Faithful and true. Notice it says there, the Lord God of his holy prophets. The holy prophets of God had but one message. Doesn't matter what Old Testament prophets you're talking about or New Testament apostles, they all bear witness to the glory of the person of Jesus Christ in his successful work. Remember, it's recorded for us in Luke 24 when our Lord said to those two men on the road to Emmaus, beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What is this book about? Old Testament and New. It's all about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what preaching is all about. It's repeating what God has already said. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Christ's sake. The Apostle Paul, as he sits in a Roman prison cell, writes to young Timothy and says, I charge thee to preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. And show unto his servant, verse 6, the last part, the things which must shortly be done. Now, two key words there, must and done. The Lord Jesus Christ must come. He must suffer for our sin. He must be crucified. He must be risen again from the dead. He must be seated in the heavenlies, having accomplished our salvation, and therefore it's done. It's done. What Christ has done for us is completely done. Completely done. Showing the things that must come to pass, that must be done. Telling sinners that salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is finished. We studied in our Bible study this morning from Hebrews chapter 1. where it says Christ by himself purged our sin and he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Why did he sit down? His work was done. Who raised him from the dead? God raised him from the dead and ascended to glory, and he's seated there in the heavenlies, and God accepted everything Christ did for us. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification and established for us eternal salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 7. He said, "Behold, I come quickly." Now he says this three times in this one chapter. Again down in verse 12, he said, "And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." And then again in verse 20, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." Amen, which means so be it. Even so, come. Come, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord our God is coming back. His second coming is imminent and impending. Our Lord said, "If I go away, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Turn back over here to Revelation chapter 1. Remember where we started? Over here in the Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 5, 6, and 7. Jesus Christ is a faithful witness. He's speaks faithfully. He speaks all the word of truth. He's the first begotten of the dead, and to the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto our God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7 said, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all the kings of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus Christ. He's on his way. He is coming back for his bride. Remember, he bought us with his own blood. He bought us with his own blood, and he's going to take home what he bought. He bought us with his own blood, and he's going to take us to glory, because he redeemed us with his own blood, and we're going to enjoy him, and he's going to enjoy us. We are called, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is called his bride, the Lamb's wife. He bought us. He purchased us with his own blood, and he's going to enjoy us forever and ever and ever. Behold, the Lord said, "I come quickly." Now look what it says in the second part of verse 7. "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this book." Now, that's not only the sayings of the revelation given to John, but the sayings of all the Word of God. All the Word of God is to be heard as such, as it is in truth, the Word of God. It's to be heard as such. It's to be read as such. It's to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is that man. Happy is that man who hears the Word of God, receives it, and believes it, and rests the whole hope of his salvation based upon what God says in his Word. Not based upon my feeling, not based upon my emotion. The foundation of faith is the Word of the Lord. We believe the gospel because this is what he said. This is what we read. "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." The apostle writes this, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe." So when you read the word, do you read it as God's truth, faithful and true word? When you hear the word preached, declared, do you receive it as such? Do you keep it? Do you receive it and keep it in your heart as the word of truth, the word of God? Those blessed of God to hear the gospel of Christ and to receive it by God-given faith are indeed blessed of God. They're happy. There are happy people who hear the word of God. Our Lord said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And God tuned your ear. He said, my sheep, they hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life. Now look at verse 8. Revelation 22, verse 8. And I, John, saw these things. Now John sees these things in a vision, but he sees these things in a reality. And I heard, I saw, and I heard. And when I heard, and when I'd seen, I fell down to worship. To worship. To worship. Now notice this. Before the feet of the angel which showed me these things, then he said to me, see thou do it not. I am your fellow servant, and of the brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. You worship God. You worship God. Don't worship me. John, the faithful servant of the Lord, bears his personal testimony to all that the Lord has revealed to him and all that he had seen and all that he had heard. That's why I read in the beginning, 1 John chapter 1, he said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That's what someone who is a witness, who bears his testimony, he bears testimony to what he's seen and what he has heard to be true. And that's what John is saying here. He's heard the word of truth. He bears witness to the word of truth. But notice the second part of verse 8. John, so overwhelmed with his vision, and we've seen this before in chapter 19. We'll go back over there and read it again in just a moment. John said, when I heard these glorious things of the tree of life, of the waters of the river of life, about seeing the face of the Lord, about being with him forever and ever and ever, about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, John, so overwhelmed, he falls down before the feet of this angel, which showed him these things, and the angel rebuked him. John, the faithful servant, bears personal testimony to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here John commits a terrible sin. You mean the apostle sinned? Yep, he did. He falls down to worship the angel. Now, we've seen this before. Turn back to chapter 19. Chapter 19. Look at verse 9. And he said to me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus, the Savior, is the spirit of prophecy. Worship God. Don't worship the angel. Now, the Word of God is very revealing about the true character of believers. Why didn't the Lord just leave that part out? Why does the Lord expose the frailty and sinfulness of John? To show us that we are sinners at best. The Scripture on many occasions exposes the frailty of our sinful nature. Instead of leaving out the occasion of believers falling into sin and failing God, it rather exposes them. All through the Word of God, I could give you many, many examples, but let me just mention three or four. Abraham, the servant of God, lied about his wife, Sarah. To protect his own hide, he said to that king, she's my sister. Why did he do that? Because he was a sinner. He was trying to protect old Abraham. How about David? David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. David, the king of Israel. David, a man after God's own heart. Took another man's wife, committed adultery, and then turned around and had him murdered. Why didn't God just keep silent on those things? To show us that salvation is for sinners. To show us that salvation is through the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by what we do. How about the Apostle Peter? Peter said, Lord, John may quit, but if you go to Jerusalem, I'm going to draw my sword and I'm going to fight every one of those rebels. What did Peter do? Our Lord said, before the rooster crows three times, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Before a little Jewish maiden, Peter was so frightened, he said, I don't know Jesus Christ. I don't know who he is. Peter denied the Lord. How about the Apostle Paul? Did the Apostle Paul have any failings, shortcomings? We study in the book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 26, when he went to Jerusalem there to make defense for the gospel. To satisfy those Jews, he agreed with them to offer a blood sacrifice in the temple. Paul? Exactly. And here we see John falling down before an angel, not once but twice. Now, why doesn't God not reveal and expose the weaknesses of men to show us that salvation's for sinners? Salvation for sinners. Remember what we read a moment ago in 1 John? When John writes about, he said, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. He said, when you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate. His blood cleanses us from all our sin. Peter writes later, he said, we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. You see, salvation for sinners. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. Why does the Lord show us these things? To show us the best of men are only men at best. And salvation is by the free and sovereign grace of God alone. Alone. To teach us of our own sin, to teach us that salvation is by His grace, to reveal unto us that Christ must be our righteousness alone before God, and to keep us looking to Him alone for all of salvation. Look at verse 9 back in our text. And the angel, the messenger of God, said unto John, don't do that. Don't fall down before me. Don't worship me. I'm just one like you, a fellow servant, and of the brethren of the prophets, of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Now that's what we need to focus on. Worship God. The Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. John here is rebuked by an angel. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. We're not to worship angels, are we? We're not to worship men, not even apostles. We're not to worship any kind of form of idolatry, whatever it may be, whatever form it may be. When the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were in the city of Lystra, and they healed that man, and all the people got all religious and excited, said, the gods have come down to us. And they went to worship Paul and Barnabas. And Paul ran out and said, stop, don't do that. We are men just like you, sinful men that need to worship God in Christ. He stopped them immediately, abruptly, and said, don't do that. So we don't worship men. We don't follow men. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ as everything in salvation. Everything in salvation. We're to worship the true and living God. God turns us to Him from our idols to serve the living and true God. That's what happens when God does a work of grace in us. He turns us to God, the true and living God, and in doing that, He turns us from our idols to serve the true and living God in Christ. We're going to study in the book of Hebrews. We are to worship the Lord Jesus Christ as God our Savior. In Hebrews 1 verse 6 we read, when He bringeth His first begotten into the world, He saith, let all the angels of God worship Him. Worship Him. If Jesus Christ is not God, we're in big trouble. Because we worship him as God. If Jesus Christ is not God, we're idolaters. If Jesus Christ is not God, we have no hope of salvation. The Apostle Thomas owned the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he fell down before him and said, "My Lord and my God." He is my Lord and he is my God in all things. Now look at verse 10. "He saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Don't seal it up. Don't hide it. "For the time is at hand." The time is at hand. Now we learn what we're to do with the Word of God. We're to declare it. Keep nothing back. Declare all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God. The Apostle Paul, when he gives his last instruction to the elders at Ephesus before going to Jerusalem, he writes, "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and have taught you publicly and privately from house to house, testifying to the Jews and to the Gentile repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." What are we to preach? All the counsel of God. What is all the counsel of God? Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all the counsel of God. And the time is at hand. The time is at hand. If there was ever a time to plainly and boldly declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, boy, that day is right now. When there's so much heresy, there's so much false religion, so much false preaching, so many false prophets. John said, "You know it is the last time because there are many false prophets in this world, and we're plagued with them. We're plagued with them." The risen Lord instructed his church to go and preach the gospel to every creature. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is always ready to go and to preach him, because the gospel of Christ is the power of God and the salvation. The apostle put it this way, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." If I preach not the gospel, woe is unto me. Woe is unto me. But if I do preach the gospel and you won't have it, that woe is unto you. Woe is unto you. Paul said, "We preach not ourselves, but we preach the Lord Jesus Christ, his person and his glorious work." You remember in our study through the book of Acts, when the early church went out preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were beaten on many occasions. They were arrested, they were beaten, and they were commanded not to teach or preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. What did they do? They went out everywhere preaching Christ and him crucified. They said, "We cannot but speak the things which we have heard and seen." And they saw a lot. And they could not and would not be silent. The time was at hand in that day, and the time is at hand right now in our day. Now, that being said, look at verse 11. This is one of those verses that needs to be looked at very carefully, that needs to be studied very carefully. "He that is unjust." When the Lord comes back, there's going to be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. Those who have done good unto the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. When the Lord comes back, he's going to find those who are just and those who are unjust. He's going to find those who are in Christ and those who are not in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 11. "He that is unjust," or "he that is unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still when the Lord comes back." That's not going to change who you are. "And he which is filthy," that is guilty, sinful, "let him be filthy still." Here's the other side of that story, the other side of that coin. "He that is righteous," those who are made righteous in Christ, who is the Lord our righteousness, "let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." When the Lord comes back, he said, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his work. I'm Alpha, I'm Omega, I'm the beginning and the end, the first
and the last.
Now, eternity will not change the state, our state or standing before God. When he comes back, you're either blessed in Christ or you're cursed in Adam. The judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ will not be a trial to see who is guilty or who is just. The judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ, judgment will reveal everything, but it will change nothing. There will be no changes in eternity. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had raised from the dead. In the day of judgment, the only thing that matters is this. What is your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? Salvation's in him. That's why Paul said, I count everything else lost, dung, and ruin, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Where do you want to be found when the Lord comes back? In him. In him. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Those who die in their sin will be raised in their sin, will be punished in their sin, will spend eternity in the punishment of that sin against God. And the fire of God's wrath will not purge away one sin. That's why condemnation is eternal condemnation. Whatever spiritual condition of your soul, whatever the spiritual condition of your soul when the Lord comes back or when you die, it will be the same throughout eternity. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. Judgment. Death will not change your standing before God. He that is unjust, unrighteous, he will be unrighteous still. He that is guilty, he that is filthy, will be filthy still. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will not put away your sin. Not the second coming. He came the first time to put away our sin, the sin of God's people. Now the message is clear, it's powerful, plain. Those who die in their guilt, in the filth of their sin, will be guilty and filthy for all eternity. Those who die without Christ as their righteousness, as their atonement for sin, are unjust, guilty, and filthy forever before God. There's no such thing as a second chance, as some folks like to say. Well, we'll have another chance. Well, there's a big problem with that word chance. Salvation is not by chance. Salvation is by the grace of God. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on those. Those who refuse to believe the gospel, who refuse to hear the word of God, who refuse to believe the word of God, the wrath of God, the curse of God's law, and the just condemnation of God abides on every unbeliever. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, here's the good news of the gospel. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. That's why our Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He that is righteous. Now, how is a sinner made righteous? Certainly not by anything we do, isn't it? Blessed is a man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord hath put away his sin, to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is our righteousness before God. For accepted in the beloved. He that is righteous in Christ, let him be righteous still. We'll be one with him and be just like him. Righteous still in him. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. They are made righteous in Christ. We have a justifying righteousness charged to us. That's our legal standing with the justice of God. Not guilty. Not guilty. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Those by his grace made righteous and holy in Christ shall be that way for eternity. Our standing in Christ now shall be our standing in Christ then and forever, perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. Now listen to these two scriptures. Let's just turn and read one of them. Turn over here because you can find it real easily. Turn to the Revelation chapter 1, and then right across the page is that little book of Jude, the Apostle of Jude. You remember he writes this in the little book of Jude, verse 24. The little book of Jude, verse 24. Now, he says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Who is going to present us? And get a hold of that word there, faultless. When the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, he writes this, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. To present you the Lord Jesus Christ as his bride, he presents us to the Father clean, white, and holy, redeemed with his precious blood, robed in his righteousness before God. That's good news, is it not? Now turn back to Revelation 22. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, Christ is our holiness. He is our sanctification. He's made unto us sanctification, set apart to be holy in Christ. Verse 12, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his work. God's going to bless everyone according to his work or condemn everyone according to his work. Every unbeliever will be judged by his work and come up short. Every believer will be judged by the precious, justifying work of the Lord Jesus Christ and be rewarded forever. He is our reward. Those who stand in the flesh will be judged by the flesh. Those who stand in Christ will be judged in him as holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. Now, who says so? Who says so? Look at verse 13. I am Alpha, Omega. I am the beginning, the end. I am the first and the last. Who has the last word on this? I am. Who is this I am? It's the same I am that answered Moses out of that burning bush, Lord, what is your name so I can tell them who sent me? And he said, I am that I am. The Lord Jesus Christ is that great I am. He said, I am the door. I am the bread. I am the light. I am the resurrection. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything. He's the I am of all our salvation in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is all and in all. The first cause and the last end of all things in our salvation. He's the author and finisher of our faith. What does that teach us? It teaches us this, that salvation is of the Lord. He saves his people with an everlasting salvation.